order. Our next public hearing is conditional use number 2373, Sarah Peterson.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an events venue to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 8.45 acres more or less. The property is lying along Morning Glory Farms Road on the northwest side of Portsville Road, which is Sussex County Route 492, approximately 0.84 mile east of South Shellbridge Road, which is Sussex County Route 492A. The 911 address is 8982 Morning Glory Farms Road, Laurel. The tax parcel ID is District 430. Map 3, parcel 41.06. Submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the staff analysis, a copy of a letter received from the applicants, we have a copy of the applicant's exhibits, we have a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, we have a copy of the applicant's site plan. I would note that we have received two letters of support and zero responses in opposition. Thank you.
All right, we thank you. Mr. Wideman. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, my name is Dave Wideman. I'm an attorney at Sergovic, Carmine, and Wideman here in Georgetown, and I represent the applicant who's standing with me, and her name is Sarah Peterson. I want to first tell you that the nice thing about this project is we're not proposing to build anything on the site, and we're not proposing to change the land in any way. What we're asking you for is the ability to use a very beautiful site for an event venue. I want to first start out by explaining how Ms. Peterson came to acquire the property. My client's ex-mother-in-law talking in the background. We expect that she might be willing to say something after I'm done. But I want to tell you that my client was previously married and she was deeded the property to her and her husband by her ex-mother-in-law, Grace Peterson. Show you. Grace Peterson owns the adjacent property that you see here, and if you can see, the property is accessed through a road that has existed for probably the better part of 60 or 70 years, according to the aerial photographs. When my client and her ex-husband were deeded the property, that is the only access to the property. My client and her family still use that road today. In roughly 2019-2020, the parties unfortunately divorced. There was an acrimonious family court case, and my client was awarded the property. Since then, her ex-husband and her ex-mother-in-law have been very bitter about the fact that previously family land ended up with my client. That's the background story, and I'd be happy to answer any questions about the access road. I will tell you, my client has been solely responsible for improving that road. She has paid all the maintenance expenses. She paid to have part of it paved. The rest of it is really crushed run stone, and I can't say exactly how long it is, but you can see from the aerial map that it's some length off of Portsville Road.
Three quarters
of a mile, I guess. I don't know if we can bring the exhibits up, but I wanted to turn to giving you an idea of what this property looks like. And
well, I mean, just a curious question. You may have said this, and I might have missed it. Does your client have an easement in the existing driveway?
No. Not recorded. It's our position we have an easement by prescription or an implied easement. And what I can tell you is this. Okay. After the divorce, Ms. Peterson had an attorney send a letter to my client saying, after you've lived there for 20-something years, you no longer have access to the property. I quickly sent a letter back saying, you're wrong, and let's just say she dropped it. She's not filed a lawsuit, and quite frankly, since the access road has been in use for more than 20 years and it's the only access to Portsville Road, I'm fairly confident if a lawsuit was ever filed that the Court of Chancery would confirm the implied easement as an easement by prescription, meaning that it's the only way in and out of the property.
Is it your intention to use that that access, to continue to use that access for this property after, if you're successful getting this conditional use?
Yes, because it's the only access to the property.
Okay.
So without that access, it's landlocked?
No, it's not.
No, it's not, it's got a...
If you want to go back...
It's got a stem, there's a stem, but there's no road where the stem is.
It is not landlocked, so that's a good question. I don't know if you could go back one slide?
Oh, sorry, yeah, here.
To the overview of what the parcel looks like?
Yeah.
So if you can make this smaller?
Yeah, see, it's got a pipe stem, goes all the way out to the road, so technically it's not landlocked.
That's what I thought was the access to it.
Yeah, well, that's what I was trying to...
She ends here, and the access is actually on her property, so Ms. Peterson, Grace Peterson, so not to confuse...
I understand, yeah, I get it, yeah.
She ends up using my client's property to get back to...
Right.
This adjacent parcel.
She has to cross your client's property to get to her property.
She does, and as I said, this has been in use for over 20 years.
Right.
Now, this is all tree, okay, so it is not technically landlocked, but with, if she didn't use this for 20 years, more than 20 years, then she would have had to install a driveway at the cost of, $100,000 or so.
Right. Okay.
Can you go back to my first exhibit? So this is a pretty good overview of what this property looks like. The water that you see at the bottom is Broad Creek. The property is improved with a single-family residential home, largely behind this tree. There's an in-law guest house in the right-hand corner. Got permission to construct it's essentially a barn dominium. There's a corral here, and this vacant space here is all of Grace Peterson's property. I can tell you that's a pristine shot of the property. To describe what's happened since then, I've got some additional photographs that I didn't include in the exhibit packet because I didn't know if Grace Peterson was going to show up. But Grace Peterson's son, my client's ex-husband, has moved a metal storage container on the property, dumped various debris on the property, including what looked like to be some kind of animal bones, construction materials, trash. And I'm going to introduce these in the record. You can have these. Old appliances, school bus seats torn out of a school bus, old shingles, old trim work,
refrigerators and toilets and sinks,
and a refrigerator dump with toilets and sinks. And I can tell you, my client will confirm this is all just being vindictive because she was awarded the property where she and her daughter still live today. Can I introduce these? So as you can see, if you're just looking at this property, it's a gorgeous site. Low density, big forested buffers on either side, 3/4 mile off Portsville Road. Yet today there's a storage container here with all kinds of junk and debris to spoil her enjoyment of the property. Notwithstanding that, and Grace Peterson knows this, her son is responsible for the debris, but she knows this because my client has texted her and asked her to see if she can do anything to clean it up. And
nicely.
And nothing's been done. If you can flip to the next photo, this gives you a shot farther out so you can see what the waterway looks like that surrounds the property. Again, this is Grace Peterson's property in the lower left portion of the photograph. My client's property is essentially from halfway through the barn all the way back. And There's a beach here that you'll see in a different photograph.
So the barn sits on two parcels?
My client's ex-husband built the barn across the boundary line onto his mom's property because at that time they were still married. Mom didn't have a problem with that.
Okay.
24.3 feet, actually.
Okay, ma'am, if you're going to speak, I need introduce yourself.
It was sure. It was 24.3 feet. Sarah yourself? Peterson. I'm sorry. Thank Sarah Peterson.
Thank you.
24.3 feet.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, if you look at tab 2, the next photograph, this is an aerial shot of what one of the events looks like that my client has held on site already. I counted the number of cars here, and between what you see in the field along this driveway here and surrounding there, there are about 65 cars. You're looking at an average of 3 people to a car, that's 195 people. And the reason I'm pointing that out to you is because one of the proposed conditions that we've made is that the capacity be limited to 200 people. If you can turn to the next photograph, please. That's another aerial shot of what the venue looks like with a tent set up outside in the corral area. And if you can scroll through to the next series of photographs, as you can see, it's a pretty sight. That's the barn. That's the outside of the barn. That's the inside of the barn.
So are you just using half the barn?
No.
No. Using the entire barn.
Who owns the barn?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Who owns the barn?
My client owns the barn.
Okay. It just happened to be sitting half on somebody else's property.
It's encroaching.
It's encroaching. Okay.
And without going into detail, over the last year, there were extensive discussions about that encroachment. And although we were 95% of the way there through the attorneys, Grace Peterson, for some reason, decided, nope, she's not going to do anything. So as we sit here today, my client has a title issue. Now, the title issue affects her only if she goes to sell the property or perhaps if she tries to get a loan against
the
property.
Yeah. But, I understand. Okay.
Okay.
Seems like they both have a title issue, really.
Yeah, I think it's a mutual title issue.
Yeah.
It is. When everybody's getting along, no title issue.
No, of course.
Of course, when we're not getting along, there's a title issue. So that's the inside of the barn. If you can, Mr. Whitehouse, keep scrolling through. There's plenty of room inside in the event of inclement weather. Now, if you stop there for a second, that's what my client calls the beach area. That abuts Broad Creek. So basically people who want to get married would get married and have their ceremony in that area and then either go to the tented area or in the event of inclement weather, if it started to rain, end up in the barn inside. Continuing to scroll through. My client maintains her property in an immaculate condition. Those are some sample photographs you're looking at about the site in the fall, about people who have been married there. Then if you go to the letter that you saw, that is simply a letter that you already have in the record indicating that a traffic impact study is not required. I have an exhibit where there's been a site evaluation report and an approval page for septic. It's served by septic and well. And then the last exhibit in the binder in front of you contains two different pieces of correspondence, both emails from my client's neighbors saying she's been a great neighbor, None of these events that she's held there before have ever posed an issue. We're contending that the proposed conditional use to use this property as an event venue complies with both the Planning and Zoning Code and the comprehensive plan. This isn't a low-density area. As I said, we're not seeking to build anything on this property. This is not a permanent use in the sense that every day this property is going to be used in this manner. And to give the commission a comfort level in terms of how we want to be respectful both of the surrounding neighbors and the land itself, we've made some proposed findings and fact, and we're willing to live with self-imposed conditions if you see fit, where we would limit any kind of wedding, which is tending to be a larger type of event, to one per weekend, so that you're not having a wedding on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Limit weddings to 200 people, given the space available to park vehicles. And for smaller events during the weekdays, like Monday through Thursday, we would limit, or asking to limit the capacity to 150. Although, I don't think that those other events like bridal showers come anywhere close to that. Is that right?
No, they do.
In order to limit the time that these events can operate, if you see fit to recommend the conditional use, we propose 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. And the reason for that is that for events, typically people come and help set up the chairs, the tents that you see, and the catering tables in the morning, and they're out of there at noonish, let's say. Events typically wind down around 10, and then the caterer needs time to get out. So we're saying by 11 o'clock, we're done. We are proposing a condition that all parking would be located to the rear in the area that we highlighted for you in the photograph. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have, but that's the extent of my presentation.
All right. Well, we thank you, Mr. Weidman. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions, and we'll start with Ms. Wingate.
Just a couple. So is it an issue, counsel, for them to not have the barn thing? I'm confused about that.
Yeah, I've got to look into that a little bit more, because it sounds like, you know, part of the conditional use would be on somebody else's property who's not an applicant. You know, that's what I got to sort of sort through. So, yeah.
Okay.
Fair question.
So you say stop at 11, but like noise, if you have a band, outside band, would that also mean stopping the band at 11? Just thinking about if it's an outdoor event.
Yeah, everything stops at 11. Any 11, kind of noise.
Okay. You mentioned septic system, is that capable of handling 200 people, or would you have to have porta-johns?
We looked into that, and do you want to explain the discussions you had with the septic engineer?
So the septic engineer we have is Mike Cotton. I think he knows you, Bob Wheatley, very well. And we have a septic design right now for 150, but he will provide us with what we need for the 200 people.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Would you want to put a sign at the front entrance?
We do, and I do have the application for that.
Okay.
And one of the proposed conditions is that the sign would not be able to exceed any of the standards of
32 foot.
Sussex
yeah.
County. We're not going to be asking for a variance or anything like that.
Right. I think that's all I have for now. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Mears.
Commissioner Wingate asked most of my questions. I just have one pertaining to the two properties. Do you intend to put a split rail or anything to keep guests off the neighboring property just to avoid future confrontation?
We're not going to put anything on that boundary line as it exists right now until this matter is cleared up.
Yeah, I meant after it was cleared up.
It was cleared up?
Yeah.
That would be a consideration if, you know.
It just makes good sense to avoid more drama.
I agree.
That's all I have.
Good neighbors.
Huh?
Good fences make good neighbors.
Yep. That's all right. I have.
Okay. Mr. Collins.
All my questions are about the impact of part of the property that you're going to be using for the events sitting on someone else's land. So council already has that.
All right. Mr. Butler, anything?
From what I see from the pictures I gather, it looks like it's already been used as, just as you're asking for the conditional use for, an event, for event parties. Yes, after, I'm assuming after the divorce or whatever, that ceased that event activities. So you could have, everybody started complaining and fighting.
Nobody's complained.
Nobody's complained.
No, I mean, I'm talking between family members.
Has anybody complained from between families about events being out there?
No.
So your mother-in-law or?
No, no one has.
All right.
She doesn't, nobody lives on the adjacent parcel.
Okay, gotcha.
My neighbor is a mile away.
Yeah, that adjacent parcel owned by Grace Peterson is a vacant piece of property.
What was it? But if it was used as event venues, was it something where you've been doing it and, like, what triggered the application, I guess? Or is it just that you knew you had to do it, so you came and applied for an event venue? Or was there a violation, or?
Well, I can answer that.
Sure.
Go ahead.
So the trigger for it was my divorce.
Okay.
My trigger was I needed income. My daughter and I run the venue. So that's what we wanted to turn it into a venue when I was married. My daughter, his stepdaughter, but my first daughter had her wedding there in the barn in 2014 when I was married to Alan. So, but he didn't want to continue with them, so we turned it into his shop and my daughter. We originally bought the barn for her horses, which is my youngest daughter that's here today.
Okay.
So we needed to make income.
Okay.
And we live on the property, and now we have a 9,900 square foot barn that we needed to use somehow. And we'll probably go back to horses at one point, but right now we want to make income, okay. So we're doing the venue.
No, that was kind of just filling in the gaps for that.
Yeah, so hopefully it helped.
Yeah.
Mr. Whitehouse, could you go back to the very first photograph? I want to point something out to Mr. Robertson since he brought it up.
Oh, here it comes.
I've known you a long time.
Get schooled, man.
One before.
Is there one before or the tax map?
I'm sorry, that is the first one. If you can go to the first one, my fault. So what I want to point out is, as my client said, about 23 feet of this building was built across the common boundary line. That means the vast majority of this barn is on my client's property, Sarah Peterson's property. As you saw, the tent was set up here. That is Ms. Peterson's property. All the parking is on Ms. Peterson's property. The interior parts of the barn that you saw that were set up are on Ms. Peterson's property, on the land, okay? Down here at the end, you have two horse stalls, essentially. So the bottom line is, from a legal perspective, the commission can grant the conditional use to allow, if it sees fit, to allow my client to use her property, any portion of her property, for the events that we're suggesting. Certainly, the beach that you saw here is on my client's property. There's enough room for a tent here. Parking can be here for smaller weddings, and she still has parking available. So, from a legal perspective, I don't see how the fact that there's this encroachment would prohibit the commission legally from granting the conditional use and deprive her, if you saw fit to recommend it, from using the vast majority of her property to hold these events. Get that, Mr. Robertson?
Let me just fill in the blanks here. If a conditional use is granted for your property, that property line runs through the last 25 feet of that barn.
Where two stalls are located.
Right. As long as you're not using those stalls for the party, you're good to go.
That's exactly right.
But here's a question, and it's more for Mr. Whitehouse. Do we have a site plan that shows all this stuff on it? And maybe I missed it.
So the staff have seen this a number of times, this parcel over the past 3 years. And, we've been slowly working to resolve one matter and another, which led to prior to this application. So the most recent interaction that staff had regarding the barn was the survey regarding whether the property line went through the billboard barn, that there was a prior version of a survey for that. There was a garage studio apartment that I understand was approved either administratively or through the Board of Adjustment on the parcel in addition to the existing dwelling. We were able to resolve the issue regarding the use, whether it was a barn or it was being converted. It has since been converted back into a barn, or at least is now a barn. The answer to the question, though, is I don't believe we have an up-to-date site plan that covers all of everything that's there now, other than what we have.
Or what's proposed.
Correct. Yeah. So that would need to be...
Right. Well, they'll have to do that at some point. If this is approved, they have to do it. Yeah.
And that would be fine, but there was a site plan that was submitted back when the barn was built.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, with regard to this application, I wanted to make sure that I didn't miss something in the record, because we don't have anything that shows where all these structures are that are going to be used for...
In an as-built.
Well, actually, it goes with the conditional use. It's a site plan, a preliminary site plan, that would show where all this stuff is, where the weddings are out on the water, you know, where the property line is through that barn, where the tent's going to go, where the parking would be. You know, a lot of times we see that sort of stuff at the time we have a public hearing. So that's why I was asking Mr. Whitehouse if we had that. I know we have a survey. But we don't have, a site plan showing.
We didn't provide you with a site plan showing exactly where the tent's going to go, because the tent can go in a number of different locations.
Yeah.
The ceremony can take place under the tent, depending on what people want. The ceremony can take place down at the beach area. The ceremony, if it's a smaller wedding, can take, even if it's a larger wedding, can take place in the vast majority of the barn. Mm-hmm. So it's almost impossible to give you that information on a site plan and make it stick to that one area.
And a point to make is that you do have another photo where there's a tent at another location, not just in the corral.
Yeah, I understand all that, but, when we do event venues for conditional uses, the commission's going to say where all that stuff's going to go. You know, I mean, just so there's not misunderstandings, if they say this is where the tents are going to go, that's where the tent's going to go. If this is where parking's going to go, that's where parking's going to go. Right. We're going to say it on the site plan and on the site itself.
How's that possible, though?
It happens in every single one of them.
It's the way the ordinance is written. Yeah. We can draw a conditional use line anywhere on a site. We can take a 10-acre site and draw a 1-acre rectangle and say, that's your conditional use. So that part of it, what is probably more important to me is something that shows where the permanent structures are. We know there are going to be tents, and I don't think that we're going to get to the point where we're going to tell you where the tents need to go or any of that kind of stuff. And I don't really have an issue giving, with a conditional use in this type of setting that would cover the whole parcel, because it's so remote. I mean, there's no body within a mile of it. It's just because normally when you're confining, you're doing it because you're trying to minimize disturbance. Well, there's nothing to disturb.
Right.
But it is always helpful to know where the permanent structures are and how they're,
If you made that a condition that she had to go get a surveyor and place that on the survey, that's not a problem.
I'm not.
So they're going to need that. It doesn't matter.
You're going to end up doing that anyway. What is it with you people on cell phones tonight? Is nobody understanding of what it means to turn your cell phone off? Who's ringing?
Chris Peterson.
Yeah.
So I do have it. We can provide it. I do have a survey with all the buildings on it.
No, you're that ship has sailed. Yeah. You're here now. So it's not like we want you to go back and do something. I'm just going to tell you that going forward, you will have to submit a commercial site plan. You say you have it. You have it with you. Okay. Let's see it.
Because if it gets approved, I mean, you realize that you're going to have to do.
You're going to have a whole bunch of other people to deal with.
You're going to have to deal with all state agencies and come back here for final site plan approval.
Everybody's brother's going to say grace over it. So you will need a site plan for
them. I do have it.
Okay. All right. Well, if you want to retrieve it now, submit it to Mr. Whitehouse, and we'll...
One of the other things I want to point out is that there's a vested interest by Sarah Peterson to make sure that the property is kept in the condition that you see and that there aren't any disturbances on the property, because she lives there full time.
Yeah. Where were we? Were we done? Any more questions over here?
Yes.
Counselor,
none for me. No,
not for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
questions, guys? Okay, you'll take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anybody here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone who would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2373, Sarah Peterson? In favor? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2373? Yes, ma'am, come on up.
I'm Grace Peterson. I live at 200 Arch Street, Seaford, Delaware. I own the farm where this 8982 Morning Glory Farms is, goes through the middle of it practically. He is saying, Mr. Wyman said that she owned all of that. I have a survey here showing, I don't know who you want it?
Hand it up to our room.
That's the only one I have.
Yeah, we, that's yeah, on the survey
they
we
told
have.
Us
yeah.
that.
We'll make copies.
They told us that.
We'll make copies. You're going to get it.
You'll go back to the microphone.
Yeah, she, he made the, that point's been made. We understand that part of that corral is on your property.
Oh, okay. Well, he's made it sound like that all of it was hers. I know there was a wedding May the 20th. Did I give you all the information you need? She took boards down off my end of the corral for the cars, I guess, to go in and out, and they parked in there. So my property is used for her to have these venues for parking. And so I don't charge her any rent or anything, and I really don't even know when it's happening. I just... happened to go back there that day, and I was parked in the road. There is just, I don't know if you understand, this road is a 10-foot farm road.
Driveway, yeah.
And it's only one way. I mean, there can't be. So, like, you know, weddings, there's, like, I guess the farm marshal was given the quote of 200 people. So I'm thinking, you know, if somebody had a heart attack or something, they couldn't get an ambulance back there when these people are leaving because they're, you know, they're just bumper to bumper. That's a lot of cars. My main concern really is with the road because with this, every one of her businesses she has, her clients ride on my private road. And that makes the liability for me more. And with having, we're up to 200 people, I'm gonna have, thank you. I'm gonna have more of a liability. And I feel like if she gets this permit to have these 200 people, what is it, she can have it one day a weekend during the week also she can have this. I don't know, that's just a lot of liability because there's drinking involved with weddings most of the time. And this road's narrow, there are a couple of big trees. You know, when we get a few drinks under the belt, we think we're the best drivers in the world. And I don't want, I just don't want anything to happen because people today sue. And I don't want to lose my farm if somebody sues me for an accident. And so that's my main concern. I feel like these conditions should have her, no, I've got my own drawing. When I gave her this land and my son back, I don't know, I think it was 2000. I gave them 50 foot. I deliberately did 50 foot for a road. And to me, I wouldn't have to worry about liability if she, 'cause she's got three other businesses, maybe four. And every one of those clients ride on me. But I feel like there shouldn't be, I mean, I don't know, but anyway. I just feel if she put all of her, if she had a road, her own road, and let all of her business clients use her road, then I wouldn't have to worry about having more liability. And so that's my biggest concern, that I feel that there should be some conditions with us that she builds her own road and puts all her businesses on that road to, and then after she does the road, then she can have this events thing. But, you know, I just think it's too much traffic on this road, and I'm just concerned about accidents happening and just the liability that I'm going to be responsible for. And I just want to thank you for letting me share what I am concerned about, because I feel like if you give her this, you're really making me then have more liability. Thank you for letting
me
share.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
How recent is your survey?
How recent was this survey? Maybe 21 or 22, I'm not really sure.
The reason I ask, it indicates a new division line separating the corral and the building.
Okay,
and to be added to a tax map as if this is going to become part of their property, of the applicants.
Well, at one time I considered that, but it's like I have no trespassing signs up, and I don't feel that they're taken serious. I built a new road. I built a new road along the other side of her road where she comes in on this, because the lawyer that I had, he told me I needed a road on my property because I would go in on her property.
Right.
Because you have to have that 150-foot road front. And now her clients probably use my road more than her road to get out to Portsville Road. And when I mentioned it to her, she told me that she really couldn't police that. But it could have been mentioned to your client to remember to just continue straight out. But anyway, there isn't a date on this.
Well, I only mentioned that because it's on the document you submitted.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, and then, just recently, she's hired a new grass cutter, and he came in and cut my conservation grasses in about maybe 3 turns of a grass cutter at the end of the field. And that did not set well with me. I just felt like I was being disrespected. And she didn't seem to be bothered by that. In fact, she told me, well, I didn't cut it. No, she didn't cut it, but the man that she hired to cut it did. And I feel like she was responsible to tell him what not to cut and what to cut. And because I have a contract with the government with the conservation grasses. And so, any other questions?
Anything?
If I may, Mr. Chairman, very quickly, just to clarify to Mr. Mears' questions, because staff were involved in those conversations. About summer of last year, there was a back and forth with the parties regarding whether to adjust the lot lines to account for property ownership matters. There was some discussion about whether that proposed new revision line would require a variance from the Board of Adjustment. There was some back and forth on that. From staff's perspective, those conversations never actually went anywhere. There was a lot of discussion. That was one of the documents that was submitted to staff at the time last summer. So I think it was drafted for the purposes of discussion, but never went anywhere from my perspective.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, would anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? Okay, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Thank you.